It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. On today's episode, we'll hear from a Kewaunee native and a former UW-Madison football player who's at training camp with the Indianapolis Colts, Tanner Bordolini. Conrad Krieger will tell us about brothers who are making a name for themselves for both their athleticism and their compassion. We have a story on brain injuries and a new way to look at their severity. A little later, our music segment features the rock and blues of Dusty Bow. Correspondent Amanda Nimmer tells us about the best fair game ever. Todd Michaels curates a fair playlist for you. And the Winnebago County Fair kicks off in Oshkosh Wednesday. The fair celebrates 169 years of tradition while also providing new ways to make memories with your family and friends. And the best way to learn about all of it? Ask the official ambassador. Terry Barr talks with the Winnebago County Fairest of the Fair about the special honor, helping others enjoy the event, and with a rapid fire of questions, asked about her favorite things at the fair. Here's Terry.
Welcome to our new Wisco Weekend show, Lexi Novak. Lexi is the Winnebago County Fairest of the Fair for 2024. Lexi, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
What does this honor mean to you to be chosen to represent your Winnebago County Fair?
It has been such an honor to be selected for this. It really, to me, means that I get to be a part of such a massive coming together of the community, and I get to support local youth. That's the biggest part of why I wanted to do this. I'm actually going to be a teacher, so being able to assist in promoting this incredible educational experience and something that just brings people together and have a fun time is really such an honor.
Now, the theme of your fair, I think this is really fun. Strolling the fair without a care.
Fair is a place to go with your family and friends and relax a little bit. Get to experience things that you might not get to experience other places. And you get to take some time, have some amazing food, see some incredible shows, and just be able to leave all of your other cares behind.
Obviously, to be a Fairest of the Fair, and I was really lucky to represent Shawano County as Fairest of the Fair, you have to have some experience with the fair, too. Mine was 4-H. What is yours?
Mine was also 4-H, actually. I come from a suburban area, so I was never really into agriculture and farming, which I know the county fair is widely known for, and that's some of our biggest community. But I found out about the fair through my local 4-H club, and I actually showed photography and writing and sewing when I was youth.
What do you think is a misconception about our county fairs?
That there's nothing to do other than walk through barns. Obviously, our animal showing is some of our biggest thing with rabbits and birds and cows and horses and goats. But we also have an expo center where we have food, people from the local community showing off talents. Other than that, we do have rides, we have carnival games, and the Winnebago County Fair includes the grandstand shows in the admission. There's just so much more than just barns. But the barns are incredible. I don't want to downplay them. You could spend an entire day there and still not hit everything.
I am talking right now with Lexi Novak. Lexi is the Winnebago County Fairest of the Fair. Lexi, how about this? Let's do some of your favorites. What's your favorite activity at the fair?
I really like sidewalk chalk. There's a competition where people get to play with sidewalk chalk.
How about your favorite animals?
Goats. I find goats very adorable.
How about your favorite ride?
I'm thinking about the Ferris wheel. I love Ferris wheels.
And how about, you know, I have to ask you this. What's your favorite fair food?
Funnel cake, hands down, funnel cake.
Not cheese curds.
Not cheese curds, although there are some really good cheese curds at the fair. I feel like I never get funnel cake other than at the fair. So it's something really special associated with the fair.
Finally, why should someone who hears this interview, why should they attend the fair? What can they learn? What can they find?
I think people should attend the fair, not just for a night out with their family and just to enjoy things, but also to get a better in-depth view of their community and the people who are around. It's fun, family friendly. There's so many activities for you to do. And the Winnebago County Fair makes a huge effort to keep admission prices low. If you have any questions about the fair, please come ask. And if I don't know, I definitely know someone who does.
Again, Lexi Novak, she is Winnebago County's fairest of the fair. Lexi, thanks for your time and enjoy the fair.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Riding along on a carousel, trying to catch up to you. Riding along on a carousel, will I catch up to you?
The Winnebago County Fair runs July 31st through August 4th. It's held at the Sunnyview Expo Center in Oshkosh. Plan your visit at winnebagocountyfaironline.com.
On the carousel.
They're brothers, they're athletes, and they're making a difference. Conrad Krieger has more.
Many people dream of being on TV for those big moments and get a crowd from your home state cheering you on. Well, in this case, for Madison natives, Nathan and Marquez Green, also known as the Twinges, they get to compete on American Ninja Warrior. This past Monday, July 22nd, they were in the semifinals. And what makes it special is that they're playing for a loved one. Matt Eisman joined Pete Schwabba on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba to talk about Nathan and Marquez Green.
Yeah, they're just an incredible story. These two young men who both went to University of Wisconsin, great kids. But when they were in high school, their mom was diagnosed with cancer and passed away in a few short years. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when faced with, you know, a loss like that, a lot of people will crumble. And these two have just found the strength. They competed shortly after her passing for the first time. And it was just one of these things where, you know, the mom had always said, like, oh God, you know, go chase your dreams. And these guys have been doing it. And Nathan's been getting the short end. Because the twins, imagine it, they're competitive with each other. So it's not just that they're running to prove a point to their mom. It's they're also running to beat one another. It's very Cain versus Abel. But the ledger looks to get evened out a little bit. But it's okay. It's really nice. It's an amazing way that they, you know, keep her memory alive and represent University of Wisconsin. And what's amazing, Pete, is they've been taken under the wings of the Iowa Ninja. And it is, We're seeing like the hotbeds of Ninja Warrior. Originally it was Miami and Denver and San Francisco. And now Orlando's huge and Iowa has become big. Thanks to the Barons, they have a gym there. And Marquez and Nathan have been training with a Cat Daddy Jackson Twait. So I hope your listeners are big fans of Ninja Warrior, because these are some deep cuts.
That was Matt Eisman, host of American Ninja Warrior, in an article on the Capital Times by Rob Thomas. Rob asked Marquez and Nathan if there's an advantage or a disadvantage with a twin competing with you. Marquez said, "We do get more nervous when the other person is competing. I know we're supposed to be getting in the zone, getting ready for our own competition. But if he goes first, I'm super nervous about his run and not focused on my own run. But an advantage is that if he does well, I know I can do it too." Nathan said, "That's what I was going to say. We're at the same level when it comes to ninja. So if he does well, it gives me confidence. We train the same. So if he gets that far, I know I can too." When they were asked about their work with cancer charities inspired by their mom, Marquez said, "We're part of Camp Keezum, which is a nonprofit that supports kids through and beyond their parents' cancer. We've gone through everything these kids have gone through. So we have that in our mind that however we do on the show, these kids are going to look up to us and think, you guys are awesome. If I set my mind to it, I can do anything." So will they be back next season? Marquez said, "They did just announce season 17. We're super excited about that. They did ask us to apply, so we're in the process of doing that. Because every year you have to reapply no matter where you're at. But this is the first year that they reached out to ask if we're going to apply. So that's a good sign." That was an interview with Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. If you want to see how the Twinges did in the semifinals, you can go to Peacock and watch the newest episode. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Thanks for joining us for New Wisco Weekend on this 28th of July on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. I'm Todd Michaels, building that fair, fun playlist this week on the show. We started the hour off with some music from the Hollies on a carousel. And this is, well, it's a Moog synthesizer, basically. Hot Butter is the group or the person, and Popcorn is the song. Thanks for listening to New Wisco Weekend.
One of our favorite segments here on New Wisco Weekend is the Truth Booth. What is it? Well, we go out in the public, and whenever we're out, we take our recorders and we ask people to tell us their stories, their truth, their passion, what they're concerned about on that day. Today, we catch up with Barb McCormick, who's been a volunteer at EAA Air Venture for 38 years.
Well, my son-in-law is the vice president of EAA, their government department. My daughter worked here 30 years for Paul Poporesny, and now she retired when she had her son. Mm-hmm. Her son worked here last year, and I got involved. Besides that, I love coming. I watch Baba Black Sheep, and last year they had the Corsairs here. It was a special thing for them. And I got to ride on the golf cart up and look at them. And it was Dick said to me, "How did you like it?" I said, "Dick, I felt like a kid on Christmas morning." I love Corsairs. That's my favorite plane. But I've been on the Concorde in the cockpit. I've been on a Bell helicopter, the Tri-Motor, the B-17, one of those floating balloons, you know, that they have. I mean, you feel like you're like this. You know, it's really cool. Yeah, on the Tri-Motor, my son-in-law drives. I shouldn't say that. My grandson goes insane when I say that. Flies it. And he was flying, and the whole family was on the flight. He comes down the aisle to my daughter, and he says, "Renee, I have a question to ask you. Would you marry me?" And before he gives her a chance to answer, he's got this old ratty parachute. He says, "If you say no, you're going out with this parachute."
He did not.
Well, she said yes.
What a thing.
And they've been married ever since. And my grandson is now in his third year at Embry-Riddle in Daytona, taking aeronautical engineering and doing fabulously. We're a flying family.
When we come back, I talked with visitors from all over the world at EAA Air Venture 2024 this week. I'll share some of those conversations. And Amanda Nimmer brings us the best fair game ever. All coming up on New Wisco Weekend.
Fat man sitting on a little stool takes money from my hand while his eyes take a walk all over you. Hands me two tickets, smiles and whispers good luck. Well, cuddle up, angel, cuddle up. You, me, and all that stuff were so scared of.
This is New Wisco Weekend on WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, a new way to look at brain injuries to help people understand their severity. First, today's the final day of EAA Air Venture 2024. People from all over the world have come to be a part of the largest fly-in of its kind, EAA Air Venture 2024. Jerry Hill, a pilot for 54 years, came in from Colorado. This is his 35th EAA Air Venture.
Just, I can't get enough of this place. The people and the airplanes and just the whole atmosphere. It's unlike anything else that I've ever experienced. I fit right in with these people. I see a lot of old guys who look just like me. They're dressed like me, have facial hair like me.
Hill says he has a home-built plane, but this year he drove from Colorado to see other home-builds and military planes on display. Tim and Logan Jacobson of Sacramento, California, are a father and son duo that came to EAA.
This week in particular, outside of always loving to be able to come, this week is Bud Anderson's tribute. He was a personal friend of ours.
The Jacobsons only stayed one day at EAA Air Venture, but 14-year-old Logan was excited to see the military jets, although he was disappointed he couldn't see the cockpit of the B-52. Married couple Mike and Sandy Dewey are from Annapolis, Maryland. He's come every year since 2007. He either flies in with a friend, or if Sandy's coming along, like she did this year, they come in via commercial flight. Mike says they stay for the whole event and are here for more than just planes.
One of my biggest things is the forums. I like to see, learn kind of new things. But it's also to visiting with friends. And we love the chapel service that they have every morning at 7 o'clock with Cam, you know, the chaplain. And so we love doing that and just seeing all the, I mean, there's so much going on here. It's like anything you want to find is here.
How long do you stay when you come?
When I come with my friend, it's usually like 7 or 8 or 9 days. And with Sandy this year, we came in Saturday. We're leaving Friday morning. So five days, 6 days, something like that.
Sandy Dewey said coming to EAA seems like a natural thing for her.
There's so much going on. So there's always people. I was just thinking that people, you know, it can be anywhere. And my dad was a pilot. He was a Navy pilot. And my brother was a Navy pilot. So I'm used to like going and looking at airplanes my whole life, so it's just normal. It's what you do. You look at airplanes. So, and then there's lots of people, and I like people.
Bill, who didn't give his last name, is from North Carolina. He, too, is a fan of the forums and the chance to learn more about home-built airplanes.
I'm building a plane. I came up here to check out some of the forums and meet with some of the other builders, see exactly how they did certain aspects of their planes.
Others are at EAA to promote new technology and break into the American marketplace. Francesco says he's there to show off a new plane from Italy.
And we are exhibitor. So we are introducing for the first time a new light airplane to the American market. This is an LSA, light sport aircraft in Europe. However, cannot be light sport in the United States because it features retractable gear. Okay. So therefore, this is a first, let's say, market study. The idea is to explore if there is interest for home built. There is a quick build kit that has been already developed, and it is offered at $99,000. It's a full composite airframe, carbon fiber, and there is the possibility to install 4 different engines, among which Lycoming 320.
Today is the final day of EAA Air Venture 2024 at Oshkosh's Whitman Regional Airport and the EAA grounds.
1973, my second cousin Calvin and me.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on WISS, and one of our favorite parts of the show is Amanda Nimmer. This week, she's talking about the best fair game ever.
Headed for the state fair.
Ladies and gents, it's time to go to the fair. Everyone loves this time of year because once you get to the fair, all these different memories can be made. The choice between what ride to go to first. Don't choose the Ferris wheel. They're terrifying. That's for a whole other episode. I lied. It's a really short story. I got stuck at the top of one in the middle of a thunderstorm when I was a kid. Totally freaked me out ever since. Moving on. The food. The endless possibilities of food. And they're all on a stick. A pickle. A deep fried Oreo. I hear the funnel cakes are good. The cheese curds, my friends. Nothing can ever beat the cheese curds. Of course, with a side of ranch. The drinks. The entertainment. Perhaps some of your favorite bands are there. The demo derbies. The magicians. Maybe even a clown, the 4-H club, and everything that they do, the animals. You can hold a baby chick. And of course, the games. The games are what a lot of people go for. In fact, some of the most popular games at the fair are balloon darts, basketball shootout, the milk bottle toss, water gun race, ring toss, that one game where you take a mallet and you try to make the thingy hit the bell. Heck, you could go home with the fish. Yes, I said it. You could go home with the fish. Who goes home with a fish? Me. I did. I named him Leon. He lived for 2 days. Rest in peace, Leon. This episode is for you. But I'm here to tell you that none of that matters when it comes to the fair. That the only game that will ever matter is the coin pushing game. The coin pushing game, invented in 1962 in the UK, but then reinvented in 1964 in America by the Compton brothers, is a game where you basically just see people putting a bunch of coins into a machine. It looks really boring, but hear me out. The point of the game is to slowly push items on top of the coins towards the slot so that you can win them. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's trinkets, sometimes it's coupons for something. It all depends. And how you do that is by putting coins into the machine, lining them up, and then a big stage, arm crane, whatever the gimmick is, will push the coins, and slowly you might make your way to getting something to fall. It sounds boring on paper, let me tell you. And it's not much to look at either, but it's a whole different world once you sit down and participate. My first encounter with these games was in the early 2000s when my then boyfriend, soon to be husband, took me to the Fond du Lac County Fair and we played Dick's Dozers, which was a variation of the coin pusher game. And let me tell you, when I sat down and I started to play, the world opened up to me. And that was the world of competition, of destroying my husband. Because it became a competition to see who could knock down the most items in this little cage. Some of you will look at this game and think, there is no strategy to it. You're just pushing quarters in and not getting much back. But that is simply because you don't know how to play it properly, and I'm here to quick teach you. The majority of these games do come with the option to stop, halt, or slow down the bar, and that is when you make your move. Because once it's all the way back, that's when you put in your coins. You make sure they're going to get flat that way instead of stacked on top of already previous coins, hence wasting your coin. And then when you let go of that button and you put three or four of them already down in a nice neat row, it pushes so many of them forward, and that is how you beat the people around you. And yes, the game can be addictive, and yes, its origins did start in gambling. But there are so many different varieties, so many different themed ones, that makes them all that much more fun. Because everyone likes the sound of a nice little jingle of coins falling down in any kind of machine. So next time you're at the fair, don't walk past the coin pushers. Think of me and Leon and give it a try. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Yet to come on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story, Tanner Bordellini of Kewaunee, who is now an Indianapolis Colt. That's on the way. Thanks for tuning in to New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine with stories from around Northeast Wisconsin. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram and visit our website, wiss.fm, for news and information on all of the shows that we feature at Civic Media and on WISS. Now for our cover story this week. It features a Wisconsin NFL player who is not a Packer. And we'll forgive him for that. Tanner Bordellini got his start playing football in Kewaunee. Then he played for UW-Madison. Now he's the fourth-round draft pick for the Indianapolis Colts and will play center for the team. Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show caught up with Tanner as he was in the process of moving to Indiana. Here's a bit of that interview, which also features Green Bay Press Gazette reporter Ariel Perez.
It's really cool. You know, it's a full circle kind of moment, moving all the stuff down to Indy today. But it's crazy to, you know, look back at where it all began. You know, you started off as a kid playing on the side of the field during the Friday night games, playing flag football, tackle football, and working your way up. So for it to finally come to full circle like this and to reach the highest level is really cool. And it's something I still haven't fully processed yet, but I'm really excited about.
That's what I mean. You know, we always watch those shows, train camp and everything, and these young guys come in and their eyes are wide open and they get a little harassment sometimes from the vets and everything. And I'm sure it's kind of like when you went from Kewaunee to Madison, but I mean, this is that next step. I mean, apprehensions, excitement, what's that feeling in your gut?
Well, I'm a little bit of nervousness and excitement. You know, I think you're always excited to go and take a new opportunity on. And obviously it's going to be different. It's a different place than you've played before. You go from college and being the oldest guy to now being back to being the youngest guy. So with that, I think there's a little bit of nervousness being the young guy coming in and having to learn, get comfortable with everything, all the plays, all the guys around you, but definitely a lot of excitement with that, you know, and I think that nervousness is a good thing to have. It just means you care.
What is your expectation?
Just to go out there and compete every day. We got a really good O-line group there, and I feel really confident in my abilities to go out there and, you know, be one of the best, but it all comes in with the work you put in one day at a time. So just trying to go do what I can, move up the ranks one notch at a time, and do what I can, put that time in.
You're down in Indianapolis now?
Headed over there today. So, I got stuff all packed up.
All right. Have you been there? That's a great.
We had a mini camp, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're at mini camp. All right. So
we were there for a month and a half earlier. Did mini camp OTAs. Got to kind of get a taste of everything. I'll get comfortable down there.
All right.
Now moving all my stuff in because we start camp next Tuesday.
Awesome. So you've made a couple friends already. I mean, right? You're not like the new kid walking into school.
Oh yeah, you get comfortable with a lot of the guys there and a lot of the rookies. You know, you spend a lot of time doing activities together. And you're at the facility quite a bit. You know, you have to do some extra stuff that the vets don't have to do. So got to know a lot of the guys real well, and it's a really cool group of guys.
What was the biggest surprise going down there? Did you had expectations? Anything that, like, oh, my God?
I think it was a really cool moment. So we were doing some team stuff, and I looked back at who was behind me playing quarterback, and it was Joe Flacco, a guy that I've watched, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And now to be playing on the same field with him in the same huddle. You know, like, hey, Joe, what are we thinking on this play? And, you know, him, you know, tell me what he thinks. It's a crazy full circle moment because I remember watching him when I was like 12 or 13 and the Super Bowl of the lights went out. So it's just a kind of a crazy moment. But it's really cool to be around guys that have that.
You didn't experience. Tell him that, right?
Yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Don't make him feel that much older.
I know. I'm glad you call him Joe and not, hey, Mr. Flacco.
Great point. Great point. You know, one of the things, I was watching a thing, Tanner, about the best way to make an impression for a young football player, learn the playbook better than anybody. And they said coaches will notice that more than anything about what you're doing outside of practice, outside of the meetings, learning that playbook. You're a great student and, you know, great all academically and everything. Are you looking at that, like getting this playbook down?
Every day. And I mean, it's something that takes time. You know, the first week you're there, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. They give you the whole playbook. I'm like, all right, good luck. And it's a lot to take in at once. But the more you look at it, the more you study it, the more comfortable you get. It's really critical because if you want to go out on the field and play, they have to be able to trust you and trust that you know what you're doing. Yeah. So you can't be making mental errors. You have to know your job, know your assignment, and know it well.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing. They said they will excuse physical things. Okay, you need to put your foot back, you know, this way when you block on this play, blah, 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 blah. That's excused, and that's – but not knowing the playbook is not excused.
No, and you mentioned a word that I think is very important in sports and in team play, which is trust, right? Yeah. You got to trust and the guy you got next to you that is going to do his job, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And if you can't trust the guy next to you and you're not sure what he's going to do, it makes it really hard to go out there and execute. So, and on top of that, you know, if you don't know the plays and you're coaching what your assignment is rather than the techniques, you're not getting better and the guys around you aren't getting better.
Cool. Is it like the Packers? Do you got a lot of fans watching the training camp, kids asking for your autographs, all that kind of that going on with
just not riding the bikes down to the field?
Well, I guess they don't have the bikes down Indy, but.
See, I think they got a nice little training camp set up where they allow fans to come watch.
Fun.
So it'll be pretty cool. Never had something like that before for a fall camp, so it'll be different when I'm used to, but I'm pretty excited about that. You know, having the chance to go watch the Packers when I was a kid was really cool. So to be on the other side of that is going to be awesome.
Think about that, Tanner. You were one of those kids standing there waiting for an autograph, watching, you know, Mark Tauscher or somebody walk by, and now you're one of those guys. Isn't that cool?
It's crazy. I'm really excited. I mean, it's just, like, unbelievable, and I definitely got to stop for some of those kids.
Yeah, I got to ask you, Tanner, have you practiced your autograph?
gotten a lot better at it over the past 2 months.
You have, though, having. Let's be honest.
They do. They all do.
Every guy does.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody, I think, has to try to find something they like.
Yep.
So you spend a little time with it when you're younger and take something out that you feel good about, but finally got it down to where it's pretty fluent now.
Right. That's cool.
We got a text here. Are there any guys on the team that you played against in college, and what is that dynamic like?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
But one of the guys that is there is Jonathan Taylor, and I missed him by a year when I was coming into college. So everyone told me he was really good, so it's finally going to be cool to see that in person up close. And he's a great guy. Got the chance to know him a little bit over the past month and a half, and he's just a really good guy to be around, really good locker room guy.
Hey, have you ever thought about when you come to Green Bay and to Lambeau, how's it going to feel when you go into that field?
I think it's hard not to think about. You know, it's the first ever away game you'll ever play in the NFL, and it's actually going to be a home game in some sense, you know. So it'll be really cool. It'll be different, obviously, taking the visitor side and cheering for the away team for once, but it'll be a pretty sweet moment.
running out of that tunnel when that happens, that's incredible, isn't it, to think about that?
I think as a kid, you know, you always dream of running out of that Lambeau, playing at Lambeau. I guess you always dream of playing for the Packers, so it's going to be a little different side of things, but nonetheless, it would be really cool.
Tanner Bernalini joining us, former Kewaunee. I'm trying to think of the nickname. I still want to say Kewaunee Indians. Kewaunee Storm.
Storm.
I came up with a nickname. I wrote their fight song, for God's sake.
Yeah, right,
I wrote their fight song, Jim.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin Badger, now an Indianapolis Colt.
As loyal as we are to the Packer fans, we're going to be cheering for you, buddy. I think
absolutely.
This is like so cool. Love when the hometown kid does well, you know? And you were such a nice kid, too. And I think that, who's that guy we had on from Bayport?
Alec Engel.
Right. Just a great
representative
the community of families of, you know, and we've obviously met your mother a number of times and everybody's so proud of you. So yeah, you're going to, besides the X's and O's, I just think you got the right personality.
But you know what thing though too, Tanner, I remember when your mom told me that, I want to say from, was it Syracuse that contacted you first? And that was like, holy crap. Really? Big schools are looking at this kid from Kewaunee? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it was the first ever Power 5 offer I got. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And they had like a really good year. They were 10-3 the year before. So I think that was really like a big moment. I was like, this is really possible. And definitely a chance I can do something. So it was cool.
The only negative, I was talking about this earlier, the only negative thing I ever heard about you was this guy we're walking out of. And it was the game you got hurt. Remember you got hurt in the back trying to block a punt or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some guy walking out with him, and he was the only thing he complained about was that your parents could have held you back a year so you'd be a year older or something because you're young for your class. And then he said, yeah, and his mom is my daughter.
So grandpa was weighing in.
So grandpa was, the only negative thing I heard from you about you and your whole career was from your grandpa.
Well, I think grandpa would have loved if I was held back a year, get to play one more year, but I think it all worked out okay.
I think so too.
Yes, it did.
Well, Tanner, listen, we just want to wish you the best of luck. We are so following you and so proud of you. And I don't want to sound cheesy, but not just what you've done in the field and everything like that. You're a great student. You're wonderful with the young kids when you go back to the Kewaunee area. Mm-hmm. Like Jim mentioned, Alec Engel. It's so great to have two great representatives from Northeast Wisconsin you two guys now in the NFL.
I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet.
You got it, buddy. Best of luck.
Mino and the Mayor airs weekday mornings from 6 till 9 a.m. on WISS 98.3 FM and AM 1100.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on WISS. I'm Todd Michael, still curating that fair playlist just for you. This is Three Dog Nights, and the show must go on WISS.
A very mysterious organ. Brain injuries, whether from external forces, stroke, or dementia, all react differently within the brain. Some can heal, some need to be managed. Lorena Tipping with the Brain Center of Green Bay.
So I have an analogy I could share if you'd like. I love this one. I always tell people this. Let's say we're looking at a roadway in California. Earthquake. Everything rumbles and shakes. That would be equivalent to a traumatic brain injury, concussion.
Right.
Right. So, but you can rehab from that. You might have some swelling and that kind of thing, but multiple hits to the head obviously is not good. So protect that. So then my second part of this analogy is you're in a, let's say the road floods. That would be equivalent to a stroke. So everything's washed away. Depending on the severity of the stroke, you can rehab. You learn to talk again. You learn to walk. So that's neuroplasticity. Now with some of these dementias, Alzheimer's, what's happening is it's a slow corrosion like our Wisconsin roadway. We have construction that we fill those potholes in. So it's a slow process with aging and some of these diseases. So let's fill those potholes with cognitive stimulation, exercise, movement, and, you know, lessen the injury and all of that.
The Brain Center of Green Bay provides free resources and coaches to help with memory problems.
Well, we're a free resource center. We don't charge for our services. And it's just a conversation. And our coaches are retired medical, social workers, RNs, and they just really know their stuff. We even have a lady that talks with individuals with traumatic brain injuries. You know, because there's a lot of things that go along with that.
The website for the Brain Center is braincentergb.org. Visits and services are by appointment only. The Brain Center's at 2801 South Webster Avenue in Green Bay in the lower level of the CP building. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
If you have a story or event you'd like covered on New Wisco Weekend, it's easy to reach out. Email Lisa Hale, our host, at lisa.hale, H-A-L-E, at wiss.fm. Our fair playlist today, including Love Roller Coaster from Ohio Players.
Up in just a moment, Terry Barr is going to take us on a musical journey with Dusty Bow. This is New Wisco Weekend. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. He's described as edgy, with original music inspired by his personal story and a love of country rock and the blues. Dusty Bow is on tour and just rolled through Wisconsin, headlining the Atwood Fest in Madison. It's where Terry Barr had a chance to talk with him about his songs, moving to Nashville, and why being an artist is the only thing he's ever wanted to do. And if you enjoy his music, don't worry, he'll be back with a new album this winter. Here's Terry Barr with Dusty Bow, and it starts with his song, No One Else.
All them times you thought I was fooling around, and I was just drinking with my boys. All them nights I spent without you on the town, I'd still miss the sound of your voice. I'm telling you, baby, I don't want no one else. I don't want no one else. The feeling I get when you walk to the room lifts me off of my feet. Whether you're wearing your finest evening gown or the old shirt and the worn out jeans.
Okay, let's welcome a big Wisconsin welcome to Dusty Bow. Yay, Dusty, it's so great to have you here with us. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, we just heard your original song, No One Else. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it started off significantly different than the way it became. And then I came up with the guitar riff and I was like, oh man, these lyrics fit like perfectly over the riff. And so it just kind of, you know, took off from there.
And you are working on new music. So how's that process going?
Yeah, we actually just started. We recorded the new album in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and we just started mixing it this week.
You mentioned Nashville, and I know you recently relocated from Louisville to Nashville. What was behind the decision?
It was mostly for a girl. I had been thinking about moving to Nashville basically since I left LA in 2018. I had been going to Nashville still to do my records, play shows and network, you know, do writer's rounds. I met a girl there. She lives there, and was honestly mostly for her, but I of course it made more sense, you know, for me to be there, and it's been going really well.
Talking to musician Dusty Bow. Now, Dusty, your music is described as familiar but fresh. I'm going to add in a little feisty. What's your inspiration?
You know, I have a lot of them. I would say the majority of it comes from classic rock, classic guitar driven rock and roll, you know, and big Hendrix, Zeppelin, and AC/DC, and Aerosmith, and Skinner, and anything that has like a lot of guitar and a good bluesy progression. Then also, you know, some heartfelt and then some lighthearted lyrics sometimes, you know, yeah. Like, you know, that's kind of what the next single, Shut Up and Play, is about. You don't always got to have something to say. Sometimes you can just play a song.
So tell me your backstory. Did you always know you wanted to be a musician and that this was going to be your future?
I found out at a very early age. So I started playing guitar at 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I caught the bug real quick, especially around like 9, 10. I was just very, and of course, like as a kid, you know, you don't have, you know, I was fortunate enough to not really have any kind of mental health struggles and stuff, but still it was like something whenever I was upset or scared or bored, I had my guitar, you know,
yeah.
And it was like, got into songwriting in high school. And I had really known at that point, that was what I wanted to do, especially when I quit playing baseball my sophomore year. I was like, this is what I want to do.
That is so great. Okay. So I know we can find wherever you are. And when your new music comes out, I'm just going to say, go to Dusty Bow. .com. It seems like that is one of the best ways to keep up with you. We are going to leave you with this song. Tell me about Throw It All Away.
The lyrics, I know I got something for you, so baby, let me take everything that's wrong with you and throw it all away. I was dealing with this producer that was like, everything that you've been doing, it's wrong. Here's what you need to do. And I start to go with his lead and to kind of listen to him and, you know, fire some of my good friends who are band members. And so there's it's a very deep, it's a very, very heavy song, meaning, you know, the meaning of it.
I think people can read into that and appreciate the song into their own lives for whatever might be going badly, or, you know, maybe it takes that song or something like that for them to turn their lives around too. Who knows who
for
you've
sure.
inspired.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because that's, you know, a lot of times when I write songs, there are things like, oh, this could actually, I could see this meaning this to this person too, but this is what it means to me. But at the same time, I love that, you know, like it has those moments in the song and where the message can be just like, hey, I'm going to get better. You know what I mean? Like this is how I'm going to make you better. Or like your alter ego in a way. It's like, you know, you got that angel on your shoulder saying, hey, I got all this stuff for you. Just throw this badness or whatever away. Just because it means one thing to you, it could be a completely different message to somebody else that would be helpful for them. I'm into that. And I love that you got that from it too.
I know I got something for you, so baby, let me take everything that's wrong with you and throw it all away.
For being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale. It features correspondents Terry Barr, Conrad Krieger, and Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by Pete Schwabe, Jim Schmidt, and John Mino. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News. Be unstoppable.